Let me share with you a familiar story and some insights from it. In the Gospel of Luke, we find these words, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.' When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." Now think about this. Do you think the shepherds, when they went to work that night, were expecting a visit from angels? Of course not. But that's the way God often works. He shows up when unexpected to people who might not even be looking. Many of us who are here tonight can remember a time when God showed up in our lives. Maybe unexpected, but at just the right time. Maybe we didn't even recognize it as God at the time. But looking back, we have come to realize that His perfect timing interrupted our seemingly ordinary life. We can learn a lot from the shepherds. When God shows up is one thing. That God will show up is guaranteed. His timing is always perfect, even when it seems to us that He's late, or we wonder if He's even there or going to show up at all. But the fact that He showed up when He did for the shepherds is one thing. There's an even greater lesson from the fact that He showed up to the shepherds at all. Shepherds in the first century were pretty much the lowest of the low. In social status, the only one lower than a shepherd was a leper. Shepherds were not even allowed to testify in court. It is divine irony that the angels would first testify to shepherds, and then the shepherds would go on to be the first witnesses to testify about the birth of the Savior. In one magnificent moment in history, shepherds went from being the outcasts of society to the front and center witnesses of the greatest event in all of history. Now, I want to take a moment to share with you a passage of Scripture that's sort of been in the news lately. I'm not sharing this to be unnecessarily provocative, but the true meaning of these verses has been largely missed by today's popular culture. Listen as I read from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. "Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." I think it would be accurate to say that we live in a day when people are easily offended. In fact, I would say that people are easily hyper-offended. That is, what in the past might have been only a slight or even overlooked as either ignorant or at least unintentional now seems as cause for great moral outrage and expressions of our personal offense, which often translates into an excuse for us to act offensively towards those whom have allegedly offended us. It's a vicious, ugly cycle. But look back at the list that I just read. I won't reread it for you. It's rather extensive, from immorality to slander and swindling. And it would be safe to say that this list is not an exhaustive list of vices and sins. As human beings, we don't deny that there is such a thing as right and wrong. We just don't like it when other people call our thing, whatever it may be, wrong. But the truth is, and I doubt any of us would deny it, the Bible teaches that we are all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. But by getting hung up on one or another of the vices listed in 1 Corinthians 6, we miss out on the most important part of the passage. 1 Corinthians 6 was actually written to encourage people to get along with one another. The problem was apparently that some people thought they were better than others. The truth is, we are all equal, equally sinful, equally corrupt, equally in need of a Savior. The key in the 1 Corinthians passage is verse 11. After listing the vices, we find these words, "And that is what some of you were." The shepherds were the lowest of the low, save the lepers. The shepherds were the outcasts of society, literally smelly and dirty. Have you been around sheep lately? They smelled like sheep. Not a pleasant smell. They were the lowest of the low. At least that's what they were. And then the angel showed up. God chose to announce to them, the lowly shepherds, the birth of a Savior, the Savior, their Savior. What about you? Do you remember what you were? Have you forgotten and somehow think now that you are in a position to look down on someone else? Do you remember who He is? That He is the Savior, the one who died for sins, triumphed over the grave. He is Christ the Lord. Or maybe you've never really thought about who you are. On the one hand, the Bible teaches that you are created in the image of God and therefore inherently and infinitely valuable. As opposed to the world, by the way, which when you really think about it, teaches that you are essentially highly evolved pond scum. Well, at least highly evolved. The Bible teaches you're created in the image of God and therefore infinitely valuable. But on the other hand, the Bible also tells us that each of us are sinners. That is, our very nature has been corrupted by sin and selfishness. Simply put, we are at best conflicted, bearing the image of God, but with the imprint and stain of sin. The key, the Bible says, is that we confess our sin. That is, say the same thing as. The word confess means to say the same thing as. In other words, if God says it's sin, instead of arguing, we agree. Call it what it is, confess it, and trust that Christ died for it. The message for you this evening is the same as it was for the shepherds oh so many years ago. A Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Let this Christmas be the moment that you allow Christ to transform you from who you were to washed, sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we invite you into this place as we celebrate Christmas. And Lord, we want this to be a joyous time. But Lord, we first come to terms with our own sinfulness, but we are so grateful because you sent a Savior. And so our sinfulness is not who we are, but it's who we were, because He is Christ the Lord, Jesus, the one who would save us from our sins. Lord, if there are any here who have never given their heart to Jesus, they've never made the decision to be a follower of Jesus, let tonight be the night. May your Spirit touch us now, convict us, challenge us, comfort us, and celebrate with us in Jesus' name.